Hello, I'm Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training. I have two guests for today's podcast, Jennifer Roth and Joya Huffine from our Medicare team. Jennifer is a Medicare account executive, and Joya is a Medicare market advisor. And you guessed it, today we're going to be talking about Medicare annual enrollment, what you need to know. So Jennifer, I'll kick it off to you. Can you tell us a little bit about Medicare annual enrollment?
Absolutely. Thank you, Shelley. It is a great time of year to talk about Medicare and the annual enrollment period that's upcoming. In fact, it is National Medicare Education Week from September the 15th to September 21st. This is an opportunity for Medicare beneficiaries to attend events in their community or online, and the purpose is to connect people with this Medicare information in advance of the annual enrollment period. The Medicare annual enrollment period begins on October the 15th, and it ends on December the 7th each year. Elections made during this time will begin January of the upcoming year.
Well, thank you very much for that information. Now, annual enrollment period, does that apply to everybody that's on Medicare?
It doesn't, and thanks for a chance to clarify that, Shelley. So the annual enrollment period really affects those enrollees who are currently in a Medicare Advantage plan or a standalone prescription drug plan, or those folks who are enrolling for the first time into a Medicare Advantage plan or a prescription drug plan. This time of year, this annual enrollment period, does not affect those folks who are enrolled in a Medicare supplement, also known as a Medigap. So this is not the time of year when they enroll or make a change to their Medigap plan.
Thank you for that clarification. So what kinds of things might a broker want to do to get prepared for this Medicare annual enrollment?
So the annual enrollment period can be a great opportunity for brokers to provide Medicare education for their groups. Medicare-eligible employees will be receiving carrier mailings. They're going to see so many television commercials. And, of course, they're always talking with friends and family, now more than ever, about Medicare, Medicare plans. And they're going to have questions as to whether their plan through their employer is the best option for them or if now's the time that they should think about a Medicare health plan. So the best thing for us to do is to talk about the Medicare secondary payer guidelines to start off. And just to remind everybody, those groups that have 20 or more employees, the group plan remains primary payer. Any Medicare coverage would be secondary. For groups with less than 20 employees, Medicare is the primary payer. And should they remain on the group plan, that would be secondary payer. It's important to check with each carrier for their specific treatment of these Medicare secondary payer guidelines, or if those carriers may have any group Medicare plans that they're offering to groups.
So it sounds like 20 is the magic number here, but I'm sure there's a particular way that somebody has to count that. So if I work at a company and I'm not sure how many employees I have, am I going to my employer to find out what I should do with Medicare?
You are going to your employer. It is the employer's responsibility to make that determination as to their Medicare secondary payer guideline, if their group plan is paying primary or if Medicare is to pay primary. If there's any question, the group should go to their broker and go to the carrier. Certainly there are communications available, but it ultimately falls on the employer's shoulder to make that determination and make that communication to not only the employee, but also any dependents that they may have covered under the plan. And the same holds true with prescription drug creditable coverage communications. That is also something that's forthcoming. That employers will need to let employees know if the group plan they're enrolled in has creditable prescription drug coverage.
So it sounds like some of the information that you're giving us, employees really need to know this information. So can you tell us a little bit more about the kinds of things you might review if you were asked to come in and speak to an employer with employees that are considering enrolling in Medicare?
Absolutely. So again, you know, any employees who are working for an employer with 20 or more have the option to stay on that group plan. However, owners and partners are definitely good individuals to consider a Medicare health plan because they could certainly see some savings in what they're paying in the monthly premium. Those groups that have higher employee or dependent contribution amounts are going to be good employees if they're Medicare eligible or if their dependents are Medicare eligible. They're going to want to consider looking at a Medicare health plan. Further, groups with less rich benefit plans, especially those with a qualified high deductible health plan coupled with a health savings account, are going to be excellent candidates for Medicare education. There's some important details that surround Medicare eligibles. When it comes time to enroll in Medicare, should they have a health savings account? There's things they need to know about those contributions. And it's important to realize that moving to a Medicare health plan for employees that fit the criteria that I just mentioned may indeed offer better benefits for less money. So the employee is going to win. The employer is going to win. Employer is going to win because they're likely going to be paying less premium and they may end up getting a little help with their census as well. However, I do need to have a little bit of a fine print moment here and remind everybody that employers with 20 or more employees must offer the same benefits to active employees and their dependents as they're offering to those employees that are under age 65. So they have to offer the same benefits under the same conditions, and they may not provide any incentives for those Medicare eligible employees that are dependents for leaving the group health plan.
Thank you. Sounds like a lot of things to remember, and it's a good time to have you ladies in to talk about all of this. Now, Julia, I'm going to move to you now and your role as the Medicare Market Advisor. Obviously, there's some things that a broker needs to do before they can actually sell Medicare because, of course, over the years, the government has done a lot to attempt to protect that senior and not have them railroaded by someone who's a fast talker or not really sure what they're discussing. So can you tell us a little bit about what a broker needs to do and how that process might flow?
Sure, Shelley. As you mentioned, the Medicare program can be complex and confusing, and for that reason, the initial process for an agent to become ready to sell Medicare Advantage and or prescription drug plans is to take AHIP certification. That's American Health Insurance Plan. What that is, Shelley, is a Medicare test. It's a comprehensive test. Once that test is passed, the agent or broker can submit carrier contracting. When the appointments or contracting is finalized, there are carrier product certifications. And once the agent or broker has progressed through those stages, they are certified and ready to sell. And it's also important to note that each year, the agent must take AHIP certification and carrier certifications so that they can continue to receive renewal commissions. That must be done on an annual basis.
So by doing that annually, it certainly makes it important for the broker to renew their education to
Correct.
Make sure that they are current on what's offered out there, because I'm sure that plans change with the federal government and other things. But you're saying, again, can you just go over that list and the chronology of how somebody has to do that?
Sure. If you've never sold Medicare plans before, you want to take AHIP certification. Again, that's a comprehensive Medicare test. Once you've completed that test, you want to also submit carrier contracting or appointment paperwork. When that is finalized, you'll receive an invitation from the carriers to do product testing. At that point, you're ready to sell. You're certified and ready to sell. And the following year, you would only have to do AHIP certification and your carrier certifications. if another carrier becomes competitive, again, you would do carrier contracting. It's very important to remember, you know, those steps, because again, there's a lot of compliance surrounding these, you know, Medicare programs, and these carriers want you to be certified to sell their products. Because as you said, changes are happening all the time.
They certainly are. So that prompts another question. Jennifer, if a broker doesn't have the time to go through this or can't invest the education, or they realize too close to the Medicare open enrollment period that they're not going to get this information done, can you ladies assist them in any way?
Indeed, yes. The Medicare team can help brokers who are not certified or ready to sell Medicare Advantage or prescription drug plans. Certainly reach out to our Medicare team, and we can help those clients that you have, any questions they have. Not only should they enroll, but we can also help with the enrollment process.
Thank you. And we have just a minute or so left, so are there any final comments that you'd like to get in, or a reminder of things that we've talked about that is important for our audience?
Absolutely. And again, you know, we can't reiterate enough that Medicare can be complicated and tedious, and our Medicare team is here to help not only the broker community with any questions, but any of our broker's clients with any questions that you may have. We encourage our Medicare brokers to use our Medicare plan quoting tool during the upcoming annual enrollment period. It's on the website. You're welcome to log in and use that quoting tool to help streamline any proposals that you're getting out there this year.
Well, thank you for listening. I'd like to make the following disclaimer before we end. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. So once again, ladies, Jennifer and Joya, I'd like to thank you. I hope you found this podcast helpful and informative. If you have any questions, please contact your Medicare account executive or salesperson. Thank you.